And there's been a lot of response in the U.S. after Friday's attacks in Paris. Hundreds gathered on Saturday in Washington, D.C.'s Lafayette Square, which is named after a French general. In Chicago, mourners lit candles outside the office of the Consulate General of France. And on Saturday Night Live, comedian Cecily Strong opened with a tribute.
Paris is the city of light. And here in New York City, we know that light will never go out. Our love and support is with everyone there tonight. We stand with you.
She then repeated that in French. Derek Thompson is senior editor at The Atlantic. He joins us from New York, as he does each Monday. Hi, Derek.
Hi, Jeremy.
And we've seen all weekend long people on Facebook who maybe even haven't been to France overlaying an image of the French flag on their profile photos. This has touched a nerve with a lot of Americans who feel a real kinship with France. What is it about France? And there are so many things, but just your thoughts on what it is about France that we love so much in the United States.
I'll start with history. They're one of our oldest allies, if not the oldest. France supported the American Revolution for independence, and we appear to be somewhat twinned in history. We both had our democratic revolutions within the same generation, and in the last century, we fought on the same side of the last few major wars. But I also want to say there are some countries that we idolize for what they make, the machines of Germany or the watches of Switzerland or the cars of Japan. The idolization of France, though, I think isn't so much about what they make but how they live. You know, technically speaking, France is sort of the butt of some jokes. You know, they can't win a continental battle since the Franco-Prussian War, and they strike all the time. But where France, I think, shines in the American imagination is that it's seen as the heart of culture and a place where people care about what really matters, which isn't machines or clocks or cars, but food and family and life. And, you know, Americans could always say the joy of life, but we don't. We say joie de vivre.
Right.
We could say a good life or a good word or a great lover of food. But instead we say la vie bohème, bon mot, gourmand, bon vivant. And so I think the most important French exports are, in fact, feelings. And one of those feelings is this romance for their culture.
Well, we think of Julia Child's the Mastering the Art of French Cooking, The Joy of French Cooking, Jacques Pepin. When you think of food, we also just spoke recently with Alice Waters, the chef at Chez Panisse in Berkeley. And she was inspired to do what she does after visiting France when she was younger. Let's listen to what Alice Waters had to say.
I went in the early 60s when France was really a slow food culture. And so I experienced things there that awakened my senses, really awakened me to the world around. And it was a time when students were given free tickets to go to concerts and museums, that it wasn't just about food, but food was how people, you know, live their daily lives. They put an emphasis on it. It was so important to them.
Derek, that sums it up right there.
It does. You know, I think when people think of American food, their mind might go straight to cheeseburgers or something like that. But when we think of French food, it's wine, it's delicious, savory butter dishes, it's cheese. It's actually led to this sort of interesting thing called the French paradox, which is this widespread impression that the French really can have it all. They can eat significantly more saturated fats than Americans but still have lower incidence of heart disease. It's not entirely clear that this is statistically true, but it is a part of this national mythology that France can have its cake and eat it too. I just going on Amazon just now, and there are the following books, The French Diet, French Women Don't Get Fat, The French Don't Diet Plan, Eat Chocolate, Lose Weight. There is this sense that when you think about France, you're thinking about not only better living, but also better living plus a better life, the ability to both enjoy what really matters in the world and not be punished for moderate amounts of gluttony.
And yet we remember after 9/11 and after the Iraq War began, or as that was all going on, that France was not on the same side as the U.S. And there were people in this country saying we should rename French fries freedom fries. There were people who would call the French cheese-eating surrender monkeys.
Right. And this was really silly season in American politics, as I suppose it always is. But right, you had Congress pushing to replace the French fries with freedom fries. I think even Speaker of the House Denny Hastert talked openly about potentially regulating French wine to punish Jacques Chirac for his opposition to the war. But, you know, what's interesting is that even though you did, I think, have this opposition at the political governmental level, you didn't quite see it trickle down. Americans still have very high opinion of the French, one of the highest in the world. It is the fourth most popular destination still for American tourists. And so I think that, you know, we've gotten over that 2002-2003 experience, and now certainly the feeling from people to people is much more that of love.
Well, and we'd love to hear people's thoughts at our website herenow.org about what they love about France. Derek Thompson, senior editor at The Atlantic, thank you so much.
Thank you.